Geek Radio Daily for yet another Anti-Friday. But that's all right. We'll move along, bump-a-dump, and make things happen the way it's supposed to. Welcome to the 8th of November. See, I told you I'd mix it up. We're the fine folks from geekradiodaily.com. The folks bringing to you today, the lady that considers it being helpful. When you consider it a correction, that there is the Flintstress.
See, me and the hooker went back.
The hooker and...
It's just that simple. And me, I'm the guy facing, you know, another week of dealing with being an adult and all that kind of things that you must do. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
You cannot escape your destiny.
That's exactly what I understand. What happened on this fine, fantastical day there, yo?
Well, let's take it back to 1804. The first U.S. patent for a separate electric attachment plug is issued to Harvell Hubble of Bridgeport, Connecticut. It screws into a light socket so that homes with the new electric lighting technology can also make use of other useful appliances.
1887, Emil Berliner, a German immigrant, patents the gramophone sound recording device. His device is the first invention to use flat discs. Apparently they were cubes before.
1895, while experimenting with electricity, Wilhelm Röntgen discovers the X-ray at Würzburg University.
1919, the first large machine switching exchange in the Bell system is brought into service in Norfolk, Virginia. The exchange uses the step-by-step system, make your own joke there, and is installed by the Automatic Electric Company of Chicago for the Bell system.
1935, experimental television transmissions with 180 lines of resolution are broadcast on the shortwave from the Eiffel Tower in Paris, France.
1950, the world's first battle in which a jet plane shoots down another jet plane takes place about 10 a.m. early in the Korean War.
Great. Leaving on a jet plane? 1965, the soap opera Billy Flynn appears on Days of Our Lives begins.
We'll have to get the exact wording. 1969, the first German satellite, Azure, is launched on a mission to examine the aurora, the Van Allen belts, and solar particles as they affect the upper atmosphere.
Was it the Aurora Borealis?
One can hope.
1972, HBO launches its programming with the broadcast of the 1971 movie, Sometimes a Great Notion, starring Paul Newman and Henry Fonda.
1977, the Philips/MC optical audio disc is first demonstrated in London, England. It features a capacity for 30 minutes of music per side.
Wow. 1980, scientists at the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory at the California Institute of Technology announced the discovery of a 15th moon orbiting the planet Saturn by the Voyager 1 space probe.
1982, a New York federal court judge issues a temporary injunction against Commodore International, preventing the company from making and selling joysticks that the court has ruled are imitations of Atari's signature joysticks.
1985, George Lucas files a federal suit charging that the use of the term Star Wars to describe the Reagan administration's strategic defense initiative constitutes trademark infringement. He is asking for a restraining order barring the Coalition for the Strategic Defense Initiative from further use of Star Wars in a 30-second TV commercial now being broadcast in support of the administration's controversial plan for a space-based defense system.
You guys like lightsabers? Watch us shoot down missiles. 1991, the first Turing test is held at the Boston Computer Museum. It seeks to demonstrate the achievement of artificial intelligence. Among the participants are 8 computer programs, talking through modems, and 2 human confederates, also at remote locations.
1992, Sega of America releases the Sega Multimedia Entertainment System with a CD player. The unit's an add-on product for the Genesis system and was $300.
And Sewer Shark was worth it. 1999, U.S. President Bill Clinton holds the nation's first virtual town hall meeting on the internet. Organizers claimed that they expected about 15,000 people, but estimates later said that twice that many actually participated, and now it would be a couple of million.
Right. 2001, Bell Labs scientists report the development of nanotransistors so tiny, 10 million can fit on the head of a pin.
Same day, same year, an extraterrestrial obelisk found on the moon, prompting an investigation flight to Saturn, is of course eventually sabotaged by HAL 9000. Oh, what a space odyssey.
2004, Pioneer announces the development of a technique which will allow optical drives to store up to 500 gigs of data using ultraviolet lasers, which emit shorter wavelength rays than blue lasers.
2007, retail giant Target announces that it's pulling the video game Manhunt 2 from its shelves after it became public knowledge that the game's violent content can be unlocked. You know, like most games with violent content.
Right.
Birthdays.
Magda Apanowicz is 36 from Kyle XY, Lucy on Caprica.
Tara Reid is 46 from The Big Lebowski, Urban Legend, Josie and the Pussycats, Sharknado.
Right. Masashi Kishimoto is 47, the creator of Naruto.
Parker Posey's 53 from Dazed and Confused, Josie and the Pussycats, Best in Show, A Mighty Wind, Scream 3, and Superman Returns.
Anytime we have birthdays where the people were in the same thing together, I wonder if they had like a joint birthday party during filming. Courtney Thorne Smith is 54 from Revenge of the Nerds 2, Summer School, Batman New Times, Melrose Place, and Ally McBeal.
Richard Curtis is 65 from Blackadder, Mr. Bean, Love Actually, Bridget Jones's Diary.
Alfre Woodard is 69 from First Contact, Primal Fear, The Forgotten, and State of Affairs.
No longer with us, born in the state in 1836, Milton Bradley, an American businessman, founded the Milton Bradley Company, actually naming it after himself.
Born in 1847, Bram Stoker, Anglo-Irish author and critic, created Count Dracula.
Blah. 1884, Herman Rorschach, Swiss psychiatrist and psychoanalyst. He's not in there with you. You're in there with him.
1914, Norman Lloyd from Saboteur, The Nude Bomb, St. Elsewhere, Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle, and Trainwreck.
1920, Esther Roll from Maude, Good Times, Driving Miss Daisy, The Mighty Quinn, My Fellow Americans.
And born in 1924, Joe Flynn from The Love Bug, McHale's Navy, and The Rescuers.
Some of those will be on TV somewhere.
Well, not on CBS. We get a new The Neighborhood, Bob Hart's Abishola, new NCIS, and NCIS Hawaii.
ABC's got a Janet Jackson night on Dancing with the Stars, and you've got a new emergency call.
NBC, top 20 live playoffs on The Voice, and Dan Brown, the lost symbol.
He likes to be called Don. Fox, the 118 deals with a delicate situation when they're called to save a man who was reportedly carjacked, shot, and subsequently buried alive, just to be sure. A homeowner believes her roommate's actually a ghost, and his past comes back for a moment to do 911, followed by a new The Big Leap.
On the CW, on a new All-American. And then we get LaDonna signs up for 15 more minutes of fame, but realize she's going to need some help from a surprising source. Jarrell chooses an inappropriate time to speak his mind, which may end up costing him greatly. Hayden and Mildred celebrate. That's on a new The 4400.
Freeform's got your National Treasure, followed by National Treasure, Book of Secrets.
AMC, Real Steel.
Bravo, Eddie is frustrated by Captain Sean's managerial style. The staff plans a fancy picnic for the guests. Two crew members become romantically involved. Who saw that coming? Captain Lee arrives before the next charter begins on a new Below Deck.
FX has The Martians.
FXX.
Just The Martian, only one.
Has a Simpsons marathon. Your episodes may vary.
FXM Warcraft.
BBC America, the classic British film, The Hunt for Red October.
Sci-fi showing Harry Potter in the Chamber of Secrets.
But not BBC. TNT's got Star Wars. The Rise of Skywalker!
Science, Revenge of the Ice Mummy on a new Secrets in the Ice.
But tonight we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. A loving mother and wife running a successful startup, but she hires a professional party planner who's got a personal vendetta and turns her world upside down. Jackie Moore and Eric Roberts star in Party from Hell.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update.
Chad tries to help Will, a promising high school athlete who's become addicted to meth. Will pays for his addiction by stealing from his family, and now he's even breaking into people's homes with his girlfriend Billy, who's also an addict. To save them both, Chad has to deal with the Fagin-like kingpin, Jack, who gives out drugs for stolen goods. You know, Chad is forming a sort of night watch and wants to help people. And if that means dealing with nasty boys, he will. Especially if they are clear and present danger. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Wow. Now you're stirring up some childhood memories. Some I'd like to keep repressed. Chad and Abby are on the 100 Lives of Black Jack Savage. Still can't believe that was a show. Robert Ganondorf is the only name I will call that character from this point on. Keep it up. That is from Jeffrey. Well, Jeffrey, absolutely right. Last week, Chad and Abby were on the 100 Lives of Black Jack Savage, which somehow I managed to miss its first time around. And I'm going to have to check that out because that seems certainly weird and wild. If you've got some memories of that show, by all means, won't you share them with us? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Of course, you can use a voicemail or text message. Just use those magic numbers.
510-GRD-CREW.
And hey, don't forget the Cinema Mistress has an episode up talking about the Eternals, and she has another Tea and Tomes episode in which literature is discussed, if you are so inclined. Read a book.
Hi, my name is Terry J. Ammon, host of Video Fuzzy, the podcast confessions of a media pack rat with thousands of VHS to DVD transfers and no idea what's on them. I'm cataloging furiously, however, and every 2 weeks I'll update you with what I've been finding in my classic recordings, my current recordings, and what I've been watching, sifting this basket of media memories. With a media collection stretching back to the 80s, this will take a while, but just hang on, we'll get through this together. For Video Fuzzy, I'm Terry J. Ammon. Happy viewing.
It might be amazing. It might just be scuzzy. We'll find out together on Video Fuzzy.
Hi, this is Sean Marr, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. I don't know why.
Yeah, you do. We talked about it. Yeah, you do. Take that however you'd like.
Okay. You're all.
Warriors, unsheath your weapons. Magic wielders, raise your wands.
Let me check my polyhedral dice. Turns out I have frost giant strength. Look it up.
And all kinds of abilities you can use in games from DriveThruRPG this week, including...
Dark times have fallen upon the Stone Wolf tribe. Stormwolf tribe. Once edible fruits and plants had become poisonous, and game that was docile turned into viciously aggressive malformed monstrosities. The source is an abbey, used as a vault for dark knowledge way too harmful to be left loose on the world. Something horrible has happened to the kind yet weird monks living in the abbey, and it seems to be ancient and beyond evil. It's up to the tribe's most brave warriors to find out and stop this force before it engulfs the Stormwolf tribe in its darkness. It came from the Scriptorium from Stella Gamma Publishing.
To the east of Stirland lies the cursed land of Sylvania. Which gives me an idea. But vampires are not the only blood-sucking horror that dwells amidst those haunted pines. A Gimshnot feast is planned, and the characters must provision it, lest they find themselves on the menu. Strange alliances must be struck and stranger threats navigated if the characters are to survive. WFRP! Feast of Blood from Cubicle 7 Entertainment. Limited.
Well, in this system-neutral horror scenario, the PCs will investigate the spread of a new RPG that drives people mad, not unlike the King in Yellow. The PCs need to find out what's going on and find the source of the game before more people get hurt. The scenario includes a microgame designed to be used as an in-game handout. The PCs could actually play this game as a game within a game. So for free, get Logomancy, an RPG within a horror RPG from Kid Minotaur.
Once belonging to a wealthy noble family of ill intent, legend tells that one fateful night, amid Samhain, the patriarch of the noble family, despite all of his worshipping and hard work, has seen that the fruits of his labor were rotten and his harvest was spoiled. He spent his last remaining wealth on an ancient tome adorned with withered leaves. Unable to live with his shame, his damaged ego, and his failing mind, he drove himself to madness, remaining in the cellar for weeks on end, toying away with rituals he did not understand from the ancient tome. No one knows the full truth of what happened next, but the groundskeeper gives the most accurate eyewitness account as the only survivor of that night. He disclosed that the father, using his woodcutting axe, massacred his family and has not been seen since.
Oh no.
Pay what you want for ultra-violent floating halls from Gizmo. Bright light?
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. As if coming off Thor, Love and Thunder, a Star Wars movie, showing up in Free Guy, trying to get a... Gordon movie off the ground is not enough. And about a million other things, Taika Waititi has now attached himself to an adaptation of Alejandro Jodorowsky and Jean Giraud's, a.k.a. Moby's, sumptuous 1980s space opera, The Incal.
For a true artist, difficulties become opportunities and clouds become solid presence.
The films and graphic novels of Alejandro Jodorowsky have influenced me and so many others for so long, Waititi said in a statement. I was stunned to be given the opportunity to bring his iconic characters to life, and I am grateful to everyone at Humanoids for trusting me to do so.
I was stunned by that moment in Jojo Rabbit. Don't do that here.
Illustrated by the legendary French artist Mobius, The Incal is a grand space adventure where a private investigator, Jean Dufour, finds himself thrust across the cosmos on a quest to save the universe after crossing paths with a mysterious titular artifact. Chased by various factions who hope to harness its powers to guide and protect those who believe it, the series, first published in 88, was inspired by ideas that Jodorowsky had while developing his not-gonna-happen adaptation of Dune, and its success led to the creation of the Jodoverse, the fictional shared universe where the writers' future sci-fi works all took place. Now Waititi is adapting this, which sounds like he is engaging in madness, and I feel obliged to accompany him.
Mm-hmm. Well, bad news, hockey fans. Gordon Bombay won't be back for season 2 of the Mighty Ducks Game Changers. Emilio Estevez, who returned as the classic character from the 90s Mighty Ducks movies in the sequel TV show, allegedly declined to follow COVID-19 vaccination policies and was removed from the second season of the Disney Plus series as a result.
I had no idea how low he could stoop.
Disney's television studios ABC Signature, which produces the series, decided not to renew Estevez's contract for the second season after weeks of back and forth with its team over the series of COVID-19 vaccination requirement. Representatives for both the studio and Estevez declined comment, so the exact details should be taken with a grain of salt. Although sources close... although sources close to Estevez indicate that the issue was creative differences, not a disagreement about the vaccine.
Well, he is a firm believer in not being careless, but not being too careful either.
Many studios are adopting mandatory vaccination policies for cast and crew that work closely with one another, often unmasked as they appear together on camera. The Mighty Ducks Game Changers had a policy where vaccines were required for all cast and crew in Zone A, which includes all actors and those who come in direct contact with them. The vaccination requirements are part of an option in the most recent return to work agreement between the studios and the major union like the IATSE. Estevez did not assure the studio that he would comply and get vaccinated.
Wow. And to think I wasted all those years worrying about what he thought.
With Bombay gone, who will help the newly reminted Mighty Ducks as they start facing off against other more practiced teams? I mean, we know Lauren Graham's Alex has what's best for the team in her heart, but she doesn't exactly have the hockey know-how. The smart money would be getting Joshua Jackson involved, as long as it isn't some cake eater.
The current chip shortage that we have is making it hard enough to get stuff like graphics cards, and criminals aren't making it any easier at all. In a this would be part of a hit millennial crime show, thieves made off with a whole truckload of EVGA RTX 30 series graphics cards, which were in transit from San Francisco to EVGA's Southern California Distribution Center at the time of the theft. It remains unclear how many cards were affected.
Well, graphics cards usually help with visualizing.
If you think you may have a card that was involved in this theft, you can find out by entering your card serial number on the warranty status page. You can also check by attempting to register your card if you can properly register your card. You can breathe a sigh of relief that it was not snatched from the shipment.
Wait, if they know which cards are stolen, then they know how many were stolen. I can see that.
Of course, it's illegal to buy or receive stolen goods, as well as conceal, sell, withhold, or aid in concealing something or withholding the property. EVGA also said that it will not register or honor any warranty or upgrade claims on stolen cards. They do say, if a user has a question, we urge them to contact us. If a user does end up acquiring a stolen card, we will address on a case-by-case basis.
By giving the victims of the crime a heavily discounted real card? Wow, I said that without laughing.
Nice job. This isn't the first time a large shipment of graphics cards has been stolen, and unfortunately, it's not going to be the last. At the end of 2020, about 340,000 worth of GeForce RTX 3090s were stolen from MSI's factory in mainland China. Graphics cards have become a prime target for thieves and scalpers. The MSRP for a NVIDIA GeForce RTX 3090 is $1,500, but if scalpers have their ways, that can go up to like $2,000 and beyond. Police, though, do have a new lead. They're going to question anyone that said they really, really, really wanted to play Crysis.
Well, you know, other interesting news, and one of the more offbeat pairings of product and film content we've seen, KFC, which is known for doing some wackadoodle stuff, is doing a promotional tie-in with Pablo Larraín's upcoming Princess Diana feature, Spencer, which stars Kristen Stewart.
As God is my witness, I don't know whether to do a grilled, extra crispy, or finger-licking good joke here.
Spoilers! At the film's end, Stewart's Diana manages to escape the royal Sandringham estate and takes the young William and Harry on an adventure to experience everyday life. The first stop on the way, they go to a KFC.
Royal Farms is kicking themselves that they let this pass by.
Right? KFC isn't letting the marketing opportunity go to waste and is reportedly launching a limited edition wool jumper inspired by Diana's outfit in the movie and one in particular worn by Diana herself in the 80s.
With a black string tie, of course.
The original jumper was bright red and covered in white sheep except for the one that was black. The sustainably sourced KFC jumper will do the same but exchange sheep for chickens. 100% of the protein... 100% of the proceeds will go to the KFC Foundation to support grassroots organizations empowering young people across the UK. To further commemorate the movie in stores, the staff will wear pastel yellow overalls and the buckets will feature wide-brim lids with birdcage veil.
That's right. Fashion jokes, kids. Mattel changed the wording for an at-home job description for its American Girl brand that said selected employees would be subject to, quote, periodic unplanned visits from supervisors during work shifts.
And they'll be subject to periodic planned ignoring the door.
The posting for seasonal customer service home agents who process customer orders on the phone gained traction after screenshots of the outrageous requirements were shared on social media. Besides unplanned surprise visits from the boss, the job also required select employees to work in a closed door area with no distractions, provide their own high-speed internet, and be free from the caretaking of others.
Preferably, they'd like you to be under the stairs of 4 Privet Drive.
Mattel, who must have missed the memo that we're in a pandemic and tons of kids and sick people are at home, said that it prides itself on providing a supportive environment for employees, ensuring information security for our customers. The reference to information security seems to be the explanation for requiring a closed-door work area, but still doesn't explain why there can't be any distractions or background noise.
Have they never worked in an office? Or what kind of office do they have at Mattel?
Although it's good to know that these highly invasive surprise home visits were not actually put into practice, the company still maintained its other draconian requirements. And it's amazing that Mattel was able to hire anyone for the role, let alone 250 people to do it. Though in fairness to Mattel, they did try to get their 4-in-1 learning bot to do it. But when they heard they might get unplanned visits from a boss, they turned into Rock'em Sock'em Robots. GRD is licensed to Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, 9.3.0 license. Check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at GRD.com. Always a good thing to do. Go out there, be fruitful and multiply, and send us an email describing it all. I'm not asking for pictures. Well, yeah, depending on who you are, maybe not. But at podcast@geekradiodaily.com, or of course, a voicemail, text, message, use the magic numbers.
510-GRD-CLAIR.
And we'll be seeing you. Or you see us. At least here.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
Right now, I wish I could crawl in a hole and pull it in after me.
Funny, I detect no source of amusement.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
What the hell are you still doing here?
Good night, suckers!
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
Operation Big Concert, where we finally take things to the next level. When Josie and the Pussycats play their stadium concert, all the kids in the audience, as well as the ones watching at home, will have to purchase these. It's the debut of 3DX surround sound, a new technology that makes the music feel like it's happening all around you, like 3D. Gentlemen, a demonstration. This is what those kids think they're hearing on those headsets. And this is what they're really hearing.
Conform. Free will is overrated. Jump on the bandwagon.
Hey, that voice. I know that voice. It's,
It's Mr. Movie Phone.
Yes!
He does all our subliminal tracks.
There is no such place as Area 51.
Excellent work, Fiona. These kids will never know what hit them.
And neither will you.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Huh? What?
He just said something.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. I said these kids will never know what hit them, and then you said, and neither will you.
I did?
We all heard you.
Oh, what I meant to say was, and neither will you guys. Meaning the teenagers? It's just emphasizing my point.
Oh, okay. Great. Thanks.
That was close.
Excuse me?